Good morning, my fellow seekers. I'm honored to be in the pulpit again sharing with you this space today. I want to give a nod to our fellow UUs out at Pride today. It's Pride weekend all this weekend, and of course our delegates to the GA having a blast, so lots of cool stuff going on. I'm Casey Combs-Luker, self-identified mystic here at First UU. I've been a member for about 3 years, and I'm enjoying this transition in our church's history. I'm grateful to be a part of it and to be here to sing and breathe and sit in silence with you all. I'm grateful you are here as well. I'm here for your quarterly reminder that you have dignity and worth, that your special gifts are valuable, and that taking care of yourself is a number one way to increase your resilience. Resilience is defined as the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties or a toughness. As I look at the second definition, I think we're not slinkies and we're not Play-Doh, because when things happen to us, sometimes our shape doesn't go back to the way it was before. We are changed and we grow. So we'll just kibosh the second one and focus on the first. I started this sermon a while ago, and the breathing thing was the main key, but as I sat with this poem and I Googled resilience, you know, we live in the information now world, I'm thankful for that. I found a really great article that actually paired really well with this poem, so it kind of shifted focus in the middle of the night. So we did a breath exercise together. I do believe breath is valuable. I will be up here again talking about it again. But today we're going to talk about this Rumi poem, and we're going to break it down and compare it to resilience, how this poem that we just heard is a poem about resilience. Heavy on my heart today are issues we face each day. Crisis around the globe, crisis in our country, crisis in our cities, crisis in our inner circles. How do we stay engaged with all these parts of our lives and always take time to take care of ourselves? I believe this Rumi poem speaks to resilience, which we desperately need at this time in history. I found an article written to give you 10 ways to boost your emotional resilience, and when I first saw it, I thought, yeah, I'll look at it. You know, kind of, I wasn't sure. Time Magazine, a little more credible. And this article is based on a book by Dr. Stephen Southwick and Dennis Charney entitled Resilience, The Science of Mastering Life's Greatest Challenges. And I was researching this poem and the article popped up and I thought I'll give it a look. And the more I read it, the more I'm like, these 10 things are the lines in this poem. So we're gonna do that today. We're gonna talk about how they connect, how it matches up with the guest house. So let's do it line by line. This being human is a guest house. Now in the article, if you were to Google it, the top 10 things are not in this order. But as I read it, I rearranged them so that it would go in the order. So it's not, one is not more important than another. It doesn't matter about numbers, but I just put them in this order. This being human is a guest house. One of the top 10 things for emotional resilience is maintaining physical fitness. Dr. Southwick and Charney saw that the most resilient people had good exercise habits that kept their bodies as well as their minds strong. Next line, every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes. And then of course one of my favorites, be optimistic. Yes, looking on the bright side keeps you going. But what's more interesting is we're not talking about Pollyanna, rose-colored glasses. We're talking about truly resilient people need to survive the harshest situations and still accomplish goals. They balance an outlook with a realistic view of life. So, in comparison to pessimists, realistic optimists pay close attention to the negative information that is relevant to the problems they face. However, unlike pessimists, they do not remain focused on the negative. They disengage rapidly from the problems that appear to be unsolvable and know when to cut their losses, turning their attention to problems they believe they can solve. Now for me, I feel like that's wisdom. You know when to cut and run. You know, I've had several experiences where I'm like, I stayed maybe a little bit too long, thinking it was being resilient, but it was depleting me. So it's about that balance and not just being Pollyanna. Next line, as an unexpected visitor, welcome and entertain them all. Another of the top 10 is get social support. Even if you're not part of a religion or community, friends and loved ones are key when life gets hard. Our brains need social support to function optimally. Connection with others releases oxytocin in your brain, and oxytocin helps clear your mind and reduce stress. Oxytocin's actions in reducing amygdala activation and arousal may also help explain why positive support from others can reduce stress. And the solution isn't just giving help from others, it's giving help. So we're doing pretty good so far, right? Are you checking these off? Even if there are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Next, face your fears. Neuroscience says that only one real way to deal with your fear is you need to face it head on. When we avoid scary things, we become more frightened. When you face your fears, they become less frightening. Part of this study was done with like special ops military people, so they've interviewed a lot of these special forces. So what do special force soldiers think when facing the most terrifying situations? What do you think they're thinking? I'm scared, but I could learn from this. Or this is a test that's going to make me stronger. Next line. Still treat each guest honorably. Number 5 on the list of 10 is have a moral compass. Southwick and Charney found that many resilient individuals possessed a keen sense of right and wrong that strengthened them during periods of extreme stress and afterwards as they adjusted to life following trauma. A common pillar amongst the resilient is selflessness, concern for the welfare of others, and giving to others with no expectation of benefit to themselves. You guys are doing a great job. Next line, he may be clearing you out for some new delight, the dark thought, the shame, and the malice. Keep your brain strong is number 6. Resilient people are very lifelong learners. They keep growing their mind, learning to learn, and adapting to the new information about the world. Next line, meet them at the door laughing. That's the one that gets you, right? Like, how are you supposed to confront these horrible things that have happened? I'm sure you can all think of at least 10 in your life that have happened. How can you really laugh at those things? Be cognitively flexible. Number 7. All of us have one way we typically cope with difficulty. But what sets resilient people apart is that they use a number of ways to deal with stressful situations. Now, this was a big deal for me. I'm like, you mean cake can't solve all this? I can't just eat 7 cakes? No, it's telling me eat a cake and go for a walk and do some breathing. I thought it was really cool to think of, like, not just one coping, but multiples. Take the burden off each one. People who are resilient tend to be flexible in the way they think about challenges and flexible in the way they react emotionally to stress. They are not wedded to a specific style of coping. Instead, they shift from one coping strategy to another, depending on the circumstances. Now, what's a good coping style that definitely works? Can you think of one? Anybody? Does anybody have one? Other than cake? No? Knitting, yes, awesome. Handicrafts. Being creative is very important. Well, Southwick and Charney spoke to a number of elite military operators and heard the same thing over and over again. What do you think they said? How do you cope? Be tough? No. Ignore it? No. They all mentioned humor. Awesome. So here's a little humor for you in mid-sermon. If you're a bird, be an early bird to get the worm for your breakfast plate. And if you're a bird, be an early, early bird. But if you're a worm, sleep late. Meet them at the door laughing. Ha! Invite them in. Invite them in, I think, goes along with number 8, practicing spirituality. I just imagine this big table to invite them in, which makes me think about the quote about having a table, make it bigger, you know, inviting more in. And that's kind of how we roll, you know, we invite them all, let them all in. The number one thing that researchers found when studying people who overcame tragedy was a spiritual practice. Much of the strength from religious activity comes from being a part of a community. The relationship between resilience and religion may partly be explained by the social quality of religious attendance. The word religion comes from the Latin meaning to bind. People who regularly attend religious services may have a deeper access and broader form of social support than is often available in a secular setting. Be grateful for whoever comes. Number 9 is have resilient role models. All the resilient individuals interviewed for the book by Southwick and Charney had role models whose beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors inspire them. So I'd like to take this minute to say thank you, because a lot of you are my mentors and my resilient role models, and I'm very grateful for that. The next line would be, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And number 10 would be, find meaning in what you do. Resilient people don't have jobs, they have callings. They have a mission and purpose in life that gives meaning to the things they do. So when times are hard, they feel a greater purpose is behind them, pushing them forward. It's the simple things, every day, each moment, what does it have to bring? And tomorrow we start all over again. I implore you, dear friends, to leave some of your pain and sorrow and suffering in this space today. Let it be cleared. The world needs you at your best. We need you representing all seven principles the best you can. You are the mentors. You are the role models the world is looking for. Thank you for all those in this space, past, present, and future. I'm grateful to be here, and I hope you feel the grace this place has to offer.